The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Clinton Yates, Bill Plaschke, Woody Page, Harry Lyles Jr., the most unstoppable play in sports. Is it Giannis in the lane? Is it McDavid on the break? It was the Eagles QB sneak with Hurts, but the NFL could be looking at making the tush-push illegal. Let's go around the horn.
It's the Bush push. I know I was there.
We were there.
We start with NFL news. Ian Rappaport reporting Eric Bieniemy and the Washington Commanders have mutual interest, and it's trending in the right direction toward him being the new offensive coordinator of Washington. If all goes well, could be official today, Rappaport says. Bieniemy's 15 interviews for head coaching jobs over these last few years, all coming back no. And now, reportedly this, Harry, does leaving KC as offensive coordinator to go to Washington, offensive coordinator, where the play calling would be all his, make sense for Eric Bieniemy?
I think if he's going to make this move, the answer to that is yes. But just in terms of everything in front of us, no, it doesn't make sense. Because, again, the point that I made earlier this week still stands today. You would not ask another coordinator that has his resume to make this same lateral move. You can even look at the two coordinators that were just hired from Philadelphia, or really even any other time, and you don't ask the same question of, well, hey, doesn't Andy Reid have something to do with it? We're not asking if Nick Sirianni has anything to do with those coordinators getting their jobs. I just think that's ridiculous. I think this is very blatant what's happening in front of us. And then, of course, now people are talking about, oh, well, he has a bad attitude, and that's why he's not getting a job. When has that ever prevented somebody else from getting a job, right? And then even people walk and dance around and won't actually talk about his past and say, well, what about that too? That's also never stopped somebody from getting a job. We have this weird qualification that we're putting on this man that we're not putting on anybody else. And to me, it's just not right.
Woody Page, I'll bring you in here. You covered Bieniemy when he was in college at Colorado. And then, of course, his time there as a coach and now at Kansas City. Does this move make sense for him?
Yes, it does. You've been out there interviewing for so long, and what surprised me, and I've reached out to him to talk to him about it, and he really doesn't want to discuss the issue with somebody in the media. I've known him since he was 17 years
what
old.
What issue is that you're speaking of? Not being hired, or how people yes. vaguely talk about a past yeah, at wonder, Colorado? Please, bring it all onto the table here.
Yeah, I get more emails, I think, than any other saying, why doesn't Bieniemy get a job? Because people are writing to me from Colorado. They know that he was an offensive coordinator in Boulder. He was an outstanding All-American up there, and he's been around forever. And why the Broncos never hired him as a head coach? Well, he's got a quirky personality to begin with. He's a very hard-driven kind of guy. I think a mistake, which I wanted to tell him, was when you've interviewed this many times, I knew a coach that never got a job because he was a bad interview. What he did was go out and hire a psychologist, speech therapist, to help him interview. And I think that after that many times, you do that. But this is a great move for him, I think. You've been in Kansas City long enough. I believe that the Washington Commanders, as bad a franchise as that is right now, is going to go into new ownership. It's a possibility that they've said to you, you can be the head coach in waiting, or at least they've said to him, we're going to pay you a lot more money, and we are going to let you call all the offensive plays. That's the only way he should take this job.
Clinton Yates?
This is unfortunate in the general and the specific. The obvious reasons that Harry's talked about in terms of what, you know, achievements are in this league and how that scales up to what you should be able to do are one thing. But for Bieniemy in specific, and people have talked about his attitude and so on and so forth, it's a little weird also that the Chiefs are asking him to get out of the door when he's been the reason why they've been so good over the past 5 or 10 years. So this is awkward to me on a lot of levels. That said, I do believe that the Commanders are a reasonable option for him. That offense has been something that has been waiting to explode on one level. They just haven't figured out the quarterback situation, and there might be new ownership there later. So you'd think that there might be a cleanup on some level of what that franchise is going to be.
This surprises me, Clinton Yates, and I appreciate what you said. You have been taking down the Washington franchise for as long as I know you. You have, I believe, called it the worst franchise in professional sports. So now you're thinking it's a good destination
also
for
that
the enemy
here? If something changes at the top, which is what everybody has been rooting for the entire time, then you've got to believe there's some level of hope, as opposed to, I don't know, getting run out of town by the very team you just won the Super Bowl with.
Is he being run out of town is another question I have. Bill Plaschke, I turn to you. 15 interviews for head coaching job. They've all come back no. And now an offensive coordinator job with play calling. Is it a good move for Bieniemy to leave KC for Washington?
You know, it's wrong and it stinks on so many levels, but this guy's going to have to make it impossible for somebody not to hire him. And the only way to do that is to get away from Andy Reid, go to the league's 20th ranked offense. It's your offense, it's your plays, it's your designs, and prove everybody he can do it on his own. That's the only way it's going to work, because it doesn't work and it's not working in KC. It's just not working. So he's got to face the reality of the situation. And it's wrong and it's unfair, but it is what it is. And it's the only way out of it is to get away from Andy Reid, away from KC, go to where you can establish your own mark, make your own mark, make it impossible for them not to hire.
Barry, back in.
But that is inherently the problem with this. The fact that he has to make it impossible for somebody to not hire him is the issue, because right. Also, no one has a more impressive resume than Eric Bieniemy does in the last 5 years.
We've been horned. We'll move on. All-Star Weekend. See if you guys have any picks for three or dunk or skills or the game in a second. Bucks Bulls last night. Giannis injuring his wrist, running into the stanchion. Left the game. X-rays negative. Team called it minor, but you got to think he might be out for the All-Star game. And now Adam Silver on the state of the NBA.
Everything's about winning a championship these days, and it's less, I think, in all sports about how you perform day in and day out. There are a few things we're addressing in collective bargaining. For example, I think we can ensure that some of our awards require minimum number of games to be played, that we're celebrating not just average number of points, but total number of points, that the culture is guys being out on the floor as much as they can.
Clinton, how does Silver's view of load management land with you?
I actually thought this was pretty lucid, and I thought his solution makes a lot of sense. If you tie performance awards, which are what allow players to move from that max to supermax escalator thing in their contracts, then you give people a little bit more incentive to play. Think about this. Last year in MVP tone, MVP voting in the top 12, only three of those guys played more than 68 games. Going back as recently as the 2016-2017 season in the top 12, 10 guys played more than 68 games. It's an acute problem, not just a larger one in terms of what the NBA is dealing with. You're messing with the competitive level, and I believe that Silver's actually got a solution here that makes sense.
Bill Plaschke, how'd you hear it?
Yeah, well, first off, Giannis should not play in the All-Star game. His team has a losing record without him. They have a 12-game winning streak. They're on a roll. They can win the championship. They need him. He should sit this game out. And furthermore, I think too many players sit too many games out when they're not injured. It's personally, I'm driving down to the Laker game and I find out LeBron or AD's not playing. The whole thing changes for me, and it's my job. I can imagine somebody paying $1,000 for a ticket for that. It's too erratic. It's too much tied to the awards. Make it hurt for them not to play if they're not hurt.
Mm-hmm. Woody Page.
Well, Bill, you're right. I always realize when I go to a Broadway show in New York and it says fill in when you get your tickets that you're not going to get to see the star. And anybody want to see U2 without Bono? No. You get your money back or they cancel the show. I think that's one of the things that the NBA has always been irresponsible about. They don't even announce that the players are not playing in the game. So how do you fix that problem? One, you do have a bye week maybe once every 6 weeks and say that's when you can sit out. Or two, that they do give back fans their money if they want it back because they're not getting to see LeBron James. I just think there are various possibilities you got to consider that don't have to do with awards and rewards that they get. But the season obviously has been too long for the 50 years that I cover it, and it still is, that you've got to cut back on the schedule.
Okay, so
even if that
this
means
is interesting
start the playoffs
to me,
earlier.
Do you ever see a league, A, giving back money, or B, giving back games?
Yes, I have. The OUSFL, there was a situation where it's money back guarantee. If your team didn't win, they'd give you your money back. So, You know, the possibilities like that.
Are you being serious here? How did I miss this? The old USFL would give you the money back if they didn't win? Okay, this is going to a different place. I'm going to reward you for the points there because that was something I never heard of before. But that's certainly not in play here. Harry Lyles Jr., what you heard from Adam Silver.
Well, you know, I do concur with Woody that, you know, in a similar stance, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air wasn't the same with new Aunt Viv. You know, I think that's probably for more me and Clinton. But either way, listen, my thing, I think that the stipulations that you need in order to have a certain amount of games to make All-NBA or, you know, whatever, I think that is a good thing. But however, to me, that places too much blame on the players for how the game has changed because we have better athletes in the NBA now. And I think that's why you're seeing some of these bodies break down because there's more spacing, there's more floor to defend, and it's the same amount of people defending that floor. So whether it's a change in how you schedule the games, if it's less games, I think that there also has to be that piece of it and not just incentivizing guys to be out there and tough it out because you do want your guys to be out there.
Flash, get back in.
You look at a team in my town, the Clippers, only 20 games left in the season, whatever it is. Wow. Nobody knows who they are. Nobody knows what they are. Nobody, they're almost irrelevant, and they should be the best team in the West. It's a complete shame, and Steve Ballmer's putting all this money into it, and we have no idea who's playing.
In that particular instance, Bill, and maybe Kawhi Leonard was one of the first players to really step forward in load management. He was legitimately injured, right? But franchises make decisions now to prioritize the postseason over the regular season. Is that the case that's happening in Los Angeles?
Yes, that's definitely the case that's happening. They have little, maybe some ticky-tack injuries, and Kawhi was slow to come back from his injury. But every night, three or four guys are on the bench, and you have no idea
why. So that
why.
Would be on the franchise again, as much as players, is what I'm saying. Woody, I'll give you the last word here after the horn.
I spent 2 hours on the phone yesterday with Larry Brown, who spent 35 years coaching 8 different teams in the league, and he said, I've never heard the expression load management when I was a coach. We didn't have that rule. He said, they've got to do something about that because it's ruining the game where players are not showing up. He said, that's part of playing basketball, is being there.
I don't think that's overstating it. I think that the league has a real, real quandary, and they're at least now putting forth solutions, and maybe that's a step there. All right, who you got in three? Who you got dunk? Who you got skills? I mean, pick one winner. Give me something, Harry Lyles, to think about this weekend.
Tyrese Halliburton, Pacers, going to bring home the three-point contest.
Okay.
Make the state proud.
Woody Page, I know you were at the first dunk contest.
Yeah, the kid from the G League. That's
Mac McClung, all right. Bill Plaschke for the dunk. Mm-hmm.
Mac McClung here.
You got it. And Clinton Yates.
Neither one of those guys knew who Mac McClung was until I told them 10 minutes ago. We've been watching this guy on IG since he was in high school banging on people. It's the biggest night
of the basketball. Buy or sell,
Mac. Get it done, Mac.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
A story your spidey sense just knew was coming. Dean Blandino says NFL competition committee might look to eliminate the tush push play on QB sneaks, telling Paul Zamowicz of the 33rd team, it's just a tactic. It's not aesthetically pleasing. Pushing was illegal by letter of the law until 2006 when they took the wording out. The Eagles did this. How many plays in the Super Bowl? How many plays all season? Nobody as good as Philly is at this. Nobody as good as Jalen Hurts. So, Bill, does it sound like they're singling out Philly here? And should a pushing a quarterback or ball carrier forward
be legal or illegal?
Well, first off, it's the Bush push. I was there for it.
I was there.
2005, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I'm the only parent who was there. Reggie Bush pushed Matt Leinart to beat Notre Dame for USC. It was not legal then in college football. It's legal now in college football. It's legal now in the NFL. It's a great play. It's a fun play. Keep it in.
Woody Page.
Oh, I totally disagree with you, Bill. I mean, you go back to the NFL, it used to be a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. And this is a play that's out of Australian Football League. Has nothing to do with the game of football that we play in this country. Get rid of it, then find out what a catch is in the NFL.
Good luck on that. Harry Lyles Jr.
Well, Bill, I was also there for 18 weeks watching all of the NFL red zone on my couch all season. There was one team that could only do this nonstop, and it was the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's
if we're
cold.
Making a rule to stop one player or a few players, I don't think that's right.
You think they're singling out Philly?
Blandino said this.
Right?
Yeah, Philly. Like, Dean Blandino said this wasn't an athletic play. Tell that to Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey, who are two of the best offensive lineman duos to ever play football. I'm not buying this.
Glenn Yates.
Right. It's football. If my dudes are bigger, stronger, and meaner than you at the line of scrimmage, sorry, you got to deal with it. That is as sportsmanlike as it gets for the NFL. I cannot understand why the competition committee is worried about this at all. Why don't you worry about not ending your playoff games on ticky-tack penalties that people think are what football is supposed to
be
about?
That was a penalty. Enough of that.
Good heat from everybody in this segment. We'll move on. Kevin Durant. State of the Durant.
In order for you to win a championship and be a great team, you just need more time on the floor. It's another story about why we didn't get on the floor together, but we just didn't get enough time. I knew this would be a great place to play and a great place to continue to get better as a player. You got somebody like Devin, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Ayton, guys that work, and I wanted to be a part of that.
What jumps out? You there?
I think we learned a little bit about KD's personality here. We always lionize these types who say, I'm the man, I lead everything. He pointed out that if there's not a culture at the place that he already goes to as a team, it's a little difficult for him to get involved. And so for Phoenix, that already has that, I know they're not going to get to play a ton of games together, but he seemed to be in a better mindset because of that fact alone and what they built there.
Go Flash.
KD said, quote, we just didn't get on the court enough. That was the problems in Brooklyn. What do you think the problems are going to be in Phoenix? You're going to come back, they're going to be on the court together 15 games? This is a great-looking team for next year. They're not going to be on the court together long enough to develop the chemistry to beat Denver. Not happening.
Woody Page.
Yes, the last couple of weeks we've heard from Harden, we've heard from Kyrie, and now we've heard from Durant. And they've all said the same thing. It didn't work. They weren't on the court long enough. Guess what? They wanted to get together in Brooklyn and play. So don't blame somebody else for something that was your own problem because of injuries and because of COVID, because you don't care for the other guys. And that's what I took from what he was saying last night.
Harry Lyles Jr.
I found myself almost feeling bad for him because you saw the emotion come out. Clearly, Kevin Durant cares about basketball a ton because he's on Twitter talking about it first off with the rest of us. But also, he really felt like they almost found something there in Brooklyn when Kyrie Irving was finally back, not suspended, playing well. And they almost had together, and then he requests a trade, and now it's just he also has to reset.
No, he cares.
I found myself feeling bad.
I don't think you can say he doesn't care. He cares. We'll move on.
Yeah.
Tigers tournament at Riviera. 69 is what he shot yesterday through our tape time today. Looking good to make the cut. There was this moment yesterday, though. Let's talk about this. Looked like a wonderful moment of camaraderie between Tiger and Justin Thomas, back flapping and laughing. It went on for minutes. What they were laughing at became clear in still images that came out later. These are real. Woods passed Thomas a tampon. Harry, what is this?
It's disappointing. I mean, this is something I would expect to see in a middle school locker room. And I don't know about the rest of my panelists, but every time I'm on this show, the time that I hear about people on the outside the most is when we talk about women in women's sports. And that's when you hear the most hate. And to me, because we let casual misogyny go like this, the people that are most unaffected by that casual misogyny tell you it's not a big deal. And then we stay in this cycle. We've got to break it, guys.
Woody Page.
Yeah, utter stupidity. That's all. I've known him forever. I'm talking about Tiger Woods. And this was so immature. It was stupid. You're the host. The entire golfing world is concentrating on the beginning of that tournament and seeing him come back. And for him to pull a stunt like that made no sense whatsoever.
What do you say? You've known Tiger for as long as he's been a pro, and you know his sense of humor. You know how he jokes and what he thinks of humor in this way. So, Bill Plaschke, was this a joke or was this something more?
He's 47 years old. This is a joke maybe if you're 15 and don't know any better. He knows better. He has a daughter. That's insane. It's misogynistic, disappointing. And furthermore, the leading drivers on the LPGA Tour are hitting the ball 270 yards. So stop making fun of that. That's ridiculous.
Luton Yates.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because this was sort of a feel-good story coming back to see him manage to be able to get out and walk the course. But it doesn't matter if he has a daughter. It doesn't matter if he has a son. Just in general, this is part of what I think a lot of people on the outside looking at golf think happens all the time. And that's what's kind of oddball about this is that as much as this is annoying, it does not seem shocking by anybody at all.
Ben Yates, Harry Lowes Jr., thanks for your time today.
I want my money back.
I got a little addendum to that. I want to talk about that in a second. Plaschke, Page, OG, showdown next. Oh.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 136th meeting between Woody Page. Go Plaschke, good luck in showdown. Oh, this was raucous. Raucous finish to a raucous game. Notre Dame beating Louisville on Olivia Miles' buzzer beater. Someone to call the steps. I don't know. Bill, grade this buzzer beater.
A plus, because they ran a play. How many teams actually run a distinct play on out of bounds in the last seconds? Great job on the road.
Bill, I'm giving that an F because that wasn't a Eurostep. That was an Irish river dance. Did you see how many moves he made?
Plaschke's getting the point because that was Irish. Woody, as far as Woody jokes go, I'm going to reward you at least a point for the joke. We'll move on. Travis Kelce announcing he'll be hosting Saturday Night Live next month. How's this going to go over, Woody?
I think it's going to go over extremely well. In history, you wouldn't know this, Tony, 32 sports-associated athletes or coaches or whatever have hosted this show. I think the only better choice would have been Andy Reid being up there after seeing him in the commercial with Patrick Mahomes.
Bill Plaschke?
Why not Patrick Mahomes? He's the MVP. He's the face of football. Why isn't Mahomes doing this? Kelce has one line, know your role and shut your mouth. Mahomes would have been just as entertaining. He's a more personable guy.
I think he's going to be on, too. I think it's entirely possible. Just bring everybody out. Woody, I want to say I've been impressed with some of the material you came up with today that I never heard of. So please, take the FaceTime.
Early in the show, I talked about the NBA giving back tickets to season ticket holders for star players not showing up. It did happen in the USFL, and we proved it. Caroline, the researcher, came up with it. 1985, the Denver Gold, in their opener, had a money-back guarantee, and guess what? When the game was over, more than 1,400 fans who came to the game went and asked for their money back and got it back. So why can't we do that in the NBA or in other sports?
We've never been more stunned in a commercial break. Woody, you had it right.
Congrats. How did he get that
right?
Don't
give people ideas for this show, Woody.